The NFL draft begins Thursday in Kansas City. We break down what positions the Giants need to go after and make our mock 25th pick for Big Blue. We also recap the Giants offseason, what we liked, what we didn't, and will Saquon Barkley be a Giant next season? Lots to do. It's all coming up next on a pre-draft edition of Blue Rush for the New York Post. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Blue Rush. It's our New York Giants podcast from the New York Post. It's our special pre-NFL draft episode. I'm your host, Brandon London, and I would love to bring in my partners in crime. He's a two-time Giants Super Bowl champion kicker. He's the great Lawrence Tynes, and he's been covering Big Blue at the New York Post since 1994. It's Paul Schwartz, and we got our two producers, Jake Brown, Andrew Hart, with us as well.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The draft, Thursday, fellas, Kansas City. Tynes, I want to talk to you about it because, before we even get in there, how you guys doing? You guys looking great. More tan than me.
Good. Yeah, I'm just trying to get my complexion like yours, Brandon. Went down to St. Bart's with the wife, had a good time.
Paul, how you been, man?
I thought Lawrence and I were tight, and he didn't even mention that I thought I would jump in his suitcase, and I would have done some stuff for you. St. Bart's, yeah, I heard it was I've been to St. Martin, never been to St. Bart's, though, but very nice.
I would have went with you, too, man, but you showed us the video of you flying in and out of that. Like, that's out on that one. I don't fly well. I don't fly well at all.
But St. Martin, listen, you go to St. Martin. That's where it all started for us. We went there a lot of years together, and we just said, oh, let's try this. But St. Martin is a great island.
This is like the size of the plane that looked like you were going into St. Bart's. That's what it looked like.
Yeah. About how big it was.
Yeah.
All right. And Tynes, talk to us about the NFL draft. It's in Kansas City on Thursday night, as everybody knows that. But you're going to be announcing the Giants' second round pick, the 57th pick, on site. Talk to us about that, man.
Man. Yeah. So the Giants called me about a month ago or maybe less and asked, obviously, I live here and asked if I would announce the pick. And I was humbled that they asked. I'm excited about it. I've actually been studying names of players that I think are hard going to the pronunciations, because I don't think you have, obviously I've never done this, but I can't imagine you have a lot of time for the person giving you the card to say it's Adawambe Tararambare, you know, whatever they're going to tell you. And so I've been studying like the kid from K-State, the defensive end, maybe in play. That edge guy, I've studied his name. There's some difficult names. I just want to get like a offensive lineman, Bill Smith, Iowa, whatever that looks like, right? Something simple.
Well, first of all, are you going to do it in any kind of Irish?
No brogues, Paulie.
Okay,
no.
You do it straight.
And you know, I did another show, and people thought I was going to come out there. You remember Pat McAfee and David Akers came out and acted the fool? No way. We're a classy organization in New York. I'm not doing that.
Now, do you hope, look, second round is, you know, a lot of times they give these honors and they're like in the sixth round, second round is Amani Toomer, Michael Strahan, you know, Tiki Barber. I mean, these are big
time. OCU Manura.
OC, these are big time picks. So what are you hoping? Do you hope it, you want it to be a big time receiver, a center? Look, it's not going to be a kicker or a punter. We know that. What do you want? What do you want it to be?
Man, I think it's really deep with receivers, and I think getting one of those top receivers late, you know, That is late second rounds. I don't know. I go back and forth between that and a D lineman, like a depth D tackle or something.
We're gonna get into our picks. Hold on. But it's been a heck of an off season so far for the Giants. The last time we did the show, Paul, we talked about Daniel Jones, that deal that he signed. We can move on. We can talk about Saquon. We can talk about Dexter Lawrence, the Giants, Darren Waller. Told you guys, that's the tight end that I wanted the Giants to bring in. I was saying it. You don't have to go out bringing Darren Waller in. You don't have to go out and necessarily – you don't need a stud wide receiver right away because you've got a guy that's had – a tight end that's had two 1,000-yard receiving seasons, and he's had 100 catches on the year. So I think that was their biggest move when it came to the offseason so far. Plus, Paris Campbell obviously adds some speed to that receiving core as well. What are you guys thinking about so far when it comes to where the Giants are at right now with their offseason? If you're Joe Shane, how do you feel about the offseason that you've had so far?
You know, you mentioned Darren Waller, and, you know, you did mention him before they got Darren Waller. You know, I know you were kind of on him. Now, here's the thing. Darren Waller from 19 and 20, you know, one of the best tight ends in the league, stud. George Young, the former Giants general manager, always said this. There's a reason why guys are available. Right. And it's not always like, you know, damning, but there's a reason. I mean, why would Darren Waller be available for a third round pick? Here's my thought. If Darren Waller was on the Giants for you know, the last 4 or 5 years, I think of the three or four of us here right now, at least two of us would be saying, you know what? I've had enough of Darren Waller the last 2 years. Right. You know, he can't get on a field. He can't get on a field with the hamstring. Get a third round pick and move on. Right. Do you guys agree with that? That. If he was with the Giants the last few years, a couple of us would have been enough of them. You know, he doesn't play. So
we just had that with Kenny Golladay. So, you know.
Well, no, but Kenny Golladay, it was not. I mean, Kenny Golladay had a couple of thousand for a different team. And Kenny Golladay at his best was never Darren Waller at his best, ever.
Interesting comparison, too, right? Think about it, like Evan Engram was kind of, I don't know, and then he goes to Jacksonville this year and has this explosive season. But I do think mindset has a lot to do with it too, right? Like Evan looked like he had a lot of fun in Jacksonville. He's playing with a really good quarterback, a good scheme, a good play caller. But I think sometimes, you know, change of scenery can reignite a player's love for the game. And we'll see if that works with Waller. But I think it was certainly worth a third round pick.
Yeah, that Kadarius Toney pick right there. I mean, everyone, I know exactly what you're saying, Paul, in the sense of, and I have a couple of Raiders fans reached out to me and told us that we got the bad end of that deal because he's like, the dude hasn't played in 2 years. So I get exactly what you're saying. But I'm also leaning with Tynes as well when it comes to like that, just that whole change of scenery. And you mentioned Evan Engram cut his hair, just became a brand new person down there in that offense. I think a tight end in this offense is what a Brian Daboll and a Mike Kafka has been sitting there waiting for. I know we love Daniel Bellinger and what he did, but I always thought of him as a number two. A Darren Waller at healthy can get you yak, can produce, and can be that, possibly be a receiver one on this team.
I agree.
Yeah, no, they added a weapon. You know, like we said, with the caveat of he's going to be healthy, his head going to be on right. I agree, Lawrence, that he needed a change. You know, let's get going here with a different team. You know, I have complete faith that Brian Daboll will know how to scheme with and Mike Kafka will know how to use this guy. I mean, it's not that hard how to use him. He can pretty much do anything if he's healthy. So that's terrific. Now, the one thing is, it's interesting. Joe Shane, you know, he's a guy, you know, last year he was very clean with his pickups, right? That nobody really had any injury issues. And, you know, he brought him in for 1 year. Now he picks up Darren Waller. He had a lot of injury issues. Brandon, you mentioned Paris Campbell. He had a pretty good year last year. You know, he's a guy they picked up, but he has a long injury history, right? You look at he went through seasons. He played a handful of games. So, you know, Joe Shane is taking a little more chances here with these guys, like, because if things go wrong with them, you know, it is fair to say you brought in Paris Campbell. He's had a history injuries, you know, a mile long, you know, and you brought him in. So that doesn't mean they're going to get hurt. They might not, you know, and they've done their research. They're healthy now. So, you know, a little more of a gambling spirit, Joe Shane, now in year number two. Maybe he feels a little more empowered that, look, we had a good first year, and now I can take not crazy chances, but certainly these guys have injury histories where he said it's better not to pick up guys with injury history.
So do you think it's the success that they had on this first year that's kind of made, kind of forced his hand a little to be more aggressive with the signing? Because if you think about it, what would you call a good season next year? You know, they have to make it to the playoffs. They have to make it to at least to the second round of the playoffs. So do you think that he got aggressive when it came to his signings, when it and want needing guys that to hit on the type of players that he signed times?
Yeah, I mean, you asked what is a good year next year. They have to go back to the playoffs and kind of put a stamp or a bow tie on this season they just had. Now, I don't think they, you know, outside of Waller, I mean, is Paris Campbell like a day? I mean, they're going to pay him like a starter, but I believe it would be kind of between him and Slayton, right? I mean, they're going to line up in four wides. You know, he's getting kind of starter money. I don't know. I think the only starter they truly got in free agency outside of paying, you know, Daniel Jones was the linebacker. And I can't even think of his name. That's terrible of me. The linebacker from the Colts.
Okereke.
And then Waller. I think that's exactly what they needed to do is go get certainly Okereke. But that guy is going to, you know, be a day one starter. I think they just built depth. You know, great teams have depth because there are going to be injuries throughout the season. We've seen that with every team. And I think that's kind of what Joe Shane did this offseason outside of the Okereke signing and trading for Waller.
You look, follow the money, right? It's just follow the money. The biggest deal was 4 years, $40 million for Okereke. So you say, you know, they're paying him the money to do the most. There's no question about it. And so, yeah, I mean, if you would ask me right now, what is the most significant signing? I think it's the linebacker, not the tight end. Because, look, they need to stop the run. He had 151 tackles last year. He's 26 years old, and he has no injury history. I don't want to jinx him, but he has no character history. He, you know, bad. He has no injury history. So he is a very clean, you know, solid, more than solid pickup for good money. You know, inside linebacker money is not crazy money, but it's, you know, $10 million a year. You know, he is coming to be, you know, start for the next 4 years and get, you know, 135, 140 tackles a season. We'll see if it happens. But Joe Shane, I know last year, game after game after game was like, we can't give up this many running yards. We can't, you know, he never felt comfortable in a game because they never could stop the run to his satisfaction. This guy certainly helps.
Yeah, I liken it to, I wanted to see what Blake Martinez was going to do in a Wink Martindale defense. So signing, say it again, Paul. Say his last name.
Okereke.
Okereke. Hey, yeah. Tynes, you better hope you don't get that on the card.
Okereke.
At the draft. Yeah.
But I pray that I don't get one of these tough names. I've been having nightmares about it.
Joe Tippmann, center, Wisconsin. Easy, right? How about John Michael Schmitz, center?
Yeah.
From Minnesota.
But the thing is, if you think about it, you just don't want to ruin a young man's moment, right? Like by saying his name wrong. And like that weighs on me. So you'll be able to tell real quick if I look worried if I'm coming up there. We're like, just 1 second, please. I'm going to Google the pronunciation, but maybe they'll have tell you.
They will tell you. There's no question. If it's one of those names that is not obvious, they're not going to just throw a card.
Yeah, because they understand the moment's big, too, for this kid and his family. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
They're going to say, you know what? They're going to say, and now with the second round pick, Lawrence Tynes is making
Tynes.
Lawrence Tynes. Yeah.
They can mess my name up. I don't care. I can't mess up this kid's name.
No, you cannot. No.
All right, draft is on Thursday. The Giants had 9 picks in total. Start with the 25th pick. I know there are a lot of people that have been talking about, could they possibly trade this pick, add another veteran to possibly the offense, defense. Let's put on our GM hats. Fellas, we are at 25. You're at 25, Paul. Seniority, you're at 25. Paul Shane, who are you taking at 25?
First of all, I think it's 10 picks. Right? I think it's 10.
Okay.
I think they have three in the first 2 days and then seven, you know, two in the fifth round and three in the seventh round. And if you would ask me right now, what's the safest bet? They will not make all 10 picks. I think Shane will trade some of these picks. He doesn't want to pick 10 guys. You know, last year they needed as many cheap bodies as possible. They don't need that this year. They're in better shape. They're a better team. So I think, you know, three picks in the seventh round, they probably don't need to do that. The short end of it is, if you ask me right now, I'm going to take a receiver. I'm going to take Zay Flowers from Boston College. Okay. Now, I think receiver and cornerback are the two things you need to really look hard at. You know, cornerback, if you ask me right now, completely in a vacuum, what is what they need the most? I would say a number two cornerback before another receiver. Number two cornerback, I mean, let me ask you guys right now, who is the number two cornerback on this
team? Listen, how dare you disrespect Cordell Flott?
People forget he's... Oh, here it goes. It starts.
We just go forget Cordell Flott was on the ball.
I thought you were going to say Corey Webster, maybe. Webster.
Corey, too. Yeah. Corey's living a nice life down in Texas or Louisiana right now.
Right.
But Cordell Flott deserves every chance to get that job in 2023.
Okay, God bless him. Let him have the chance. That doesn't mean you're penciling him in.
He showed me, and maybe he's a little undersized. I get that part, but boy, can he cover. He made some big plays. You remember the Minnesota Vikings game? He came in, hadn't played all game, makes a huge play down the stretch. I think some Giants fans, including some of the beat writers, might have forgotten about Cordell Flott. Like,
I didn't forget. Aaron Robinson.
Where Cordell do you pick Flott. Him? Where does Flott go? Is he the slot corner? I mean, Darnay Holmes is a good player.
That's like saying, oh, we just picked up this pitcher. Where you need as many pitchers as possible, right? Number two, number three, number four. You need bring the cornerbacks in. What happens if Aaron Robinson has a great spring and summer? Great.
Yeah, and he could.
Great. The more the merrier. I mean, you need a million of them, you know?
But I think you need to spend high draft capital. If you're not going to take wide receiver, you got to go D-line.
Now, hold on. Now the cornerback you take could be a day one starter. The D lineman you take is not going to be a day one starter. And
They had issues with rotation last year. Remember, it was
rotation.
The big boys were playing so much football, they couldn't get off the field. And if you look at the wave of D linemen that the Eagles brought on the field and some of these other really good teams, I would not be surprised if the Giants take a D lineman.
I wouldn't be shocked. I think in the second day more so, you know, I would expect that more. But yes, first of all, they're going to give Dexter Lawrence a boatload of money. But you're right. You don't just draft for 2023. So where is Leonard Williams going to be in 2024? Maybe the guy you want them to draft is a starter alongside Dexter Lawrence in 2024. So that's not crazy thinking. I'm not saying that.
I was going to say if they do go defensive line, would it be edge because Azeez Ojulari didn't play as much as you wanted to? You know, you got to have someone on the opposite side of a Kayvon Thibodeau, but I don't see. I wonder what that would look like optics wise if they did draft an interior D lineman after, you know, they're in contract talks with Dexter Lawrence right now. What's Leonard Williams going to say in his head? What's he going to think in his head? They just drafted my replacement. In that sense, you know, but again, yeah, you can never have enough D linemen. But I was going to go I'm going to jump in on this one since Paul, you were talking about another CB1. I'm going to go Keely Ringo, corner from Georgia, 6'2, ran 4.36, 33 inch vert, but you're 6'2, 10'2 broad jump. The kid can play, he's only 20 years old. So think about it. You got him young, you're going to have him for a long time. The guy balled out. And both national championships for Georgia. He's only played 2 years in the league, in the SEC. But I just think about what Wink Martindale, what he could have at a CB2 on the other side of a Dory Jackson. You talk about that speed. Brandon Cooks is now in. CeeDee Lamb can run. Both guys from the Eagles can run. Scary Terry McLaurin can run, but you also have height at 6'2 as well. He's also, they blitzed him a lot at Georgia. So just think about what he could do in terms of coming up, being physical in the run game for a Wink Martindale defense. One thing about receiver, these long corners that can run, they're some of the hardest to beat when it comes to being on the line, because not only can they be physical with you, but if you beat them, off the line, they have to make up speed in that sense. And you just
how about the guy from Mississippi State,
Emmanuel Forbes?
Do you think he'll be there at 25?
24 guys are going to be gone. We know that. You know, every time I do a mock draft or talk about something, somebody says to me, he's not going to be there. It's like, you just gave me 48 names of guys who aren't going to be there. So, you know, I don't know. I mean,
the draft maybe, is funny.
Yeah, maybe Deontay Banks will be there. You know, I don't know. I think if Deontay Banks, Emmanuel Forbes has six pick sixes playing for in the SEC. I mean, he is a playmaker. Now, I know he's skinny as a rail, but Tynes doesn't have a problem with that. Right, Lawrence? Cordell Flott is skinny as a rail.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you think about, Brandon makes a good point. The best two rookie corners last year in the NFL was the young man in Seattle. It was a fourth-round pick out of UTEP or UT San Antonio. I don't even know if it was UTEP. And then Sauce Gardner, of course. Two big, long, lanky corners that can run. But
just think of Webby. Like, just think of how hard it was for guys to beat Webby. And this guy, he's faster than Webby.
Yeah, if Ringo's there, I mean, sure, you'd have to consider him. I wonder if they'll go best player. Would not be surprised either if they trade out of that and maybe grab another second-round pick. But I'll tell you this, do not trade the second round pick, Joe, because LT doesn't hang out in green rooms. LT's not hanging out in green. I'm not going to look like Aaron Rodgers.
Lamar Jackson.
Would you have to announce that?
I think I would. Well, that would be cool if I got to announce a trade, but I doubt it. Maybe I would. I don't know. And then what would I do? Hang out till the third? Because they do the third round as well on Friday night, right?
Yes, you would hang out. Okay. What you would do. Yes, you would hang out.
Yeah. Listen, I would announce their undrafted free agents if they wanted me to. But I mean,
nobody has any love, Brandon. You don't have any love for Zay Flowers, my guy from Boston College?
I do. There's too many good receivers to talk about. It's Addison, it's Flowers. It's like, God, I don't know who's going to be there.
And I want height. I want height. I don't want another small guy. I understand he can run. He's on. He can stop.
What? Kafka? What are Kafka and Dable like? Tyreek Hill, Diggs. They're not big guys.
See, this is the thing. Whenever I think about cornerback, defensive lineman, fine. But I think of who's the head coach of this team. Now, he wants to throw it, you know. What have they not done this offseason, given Saquon Barkley a long-term contract? Now, they offered him something, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, they're not valuing that position as much as these receivers. Now, is it duplication with Wandale Robinson? Maybe. You know what I think? Brian Daboll would say to that, fine. Okay. I'll have two guys who they can't cover instead of one.
So I went through, this was interesting because I knew what we were going to talk about on the show. So I went through the 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21 drafts where Joe Shane was the assistant GM in Buffalo. Do you know, in that time frame, they've only drafted four offensive linemen. None of them were centers or guards, or one guard. The rest were tackles. Nobody high. But in three of those five drafts, they went D linemen in the first round. So if we're trying to build, you know, any kind of consistency here, so 2021 was his last. Gregory Rousseau, D lineman.
Yeah, from Miami.
Boogie, right? Yeah. Boogie Basham. And then in 2020, defensive end, AJ Epinesa. These are guys that don't even play. And then 2019, Ed Oliver. 2018, Josh Allen, of course. And then 2017, Tre'Davious White. So I don't know if that's his philosophy, but they went defense, D-line or corner, obviously, in four out of those five drafts. And one of them was to get Josh Allen. So,
but look, don't forget, Dexter Lawrence is on the verge of a $90 million contract. You know, I mean, he's going to get Jeffrey Simmons money. He's just going to get it. And maybe after the draft, whenever it is, I think they'll come to a deal. So then you look at how much do we have invested in the defensive line, right? Now, your first-round pick gets whatever he's going to get. He's going to get, what, 4 years and 30-something, you know, 30 million, you know, whatever it is. It's all slotted in. So you do have cost certainty there. You have Dexter. Look, it's not – if they have someone they love there, you know, it's not crazy. They have to stop the run. They got Okereke, which we said a bunch of times already. And, you know, that's not crazy. I mean, look, defensive tackle nowadays is more heightened than it used to be. These guys are making the money that edge rushers used to make. What does that tell you? That tells you that the league has come around. They haven't come around with inside linebackers. They haven't come around with running backs, but they're paying defensive tackles who can give a little bit of push in the pocket and stop the run. Those guys are getting big money.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Yeah, you're realizing the need to stop that, right? It doesn't matter if you throw the ball, you control the, if you can control this clock on the team, then you kind of neutralize their weapons on offense and all. So I could see that. I just honestly, guys, would you trade that pick? Is there anybody out there that you think that could be the, like the little carrot dangling in front of you right now and dangling in front of Joe Shane? Would you, is there anyone out there you'd go for to try and trade that 25th pick?
You know, if one of these, look, a lot of people say, and Joe Shane would not admit this, but a lot of people say that there are not 32 first round graded players in this draft. They're not, you know, I mean, I think last year that, you know, a lot of teams had like 45 guys maybe graded as first round picks. So if the Giants look at this and say, look, we have 22 guys graded as first round picks. If they're all gone by 25, you know, we got another group here. If we can trade seven to eight spots down and get a guy we have graded as a second round pick anyway. Yeah. If one of those receivers, you know, if one of those receivers, if they see, you know what, there's three receivers, two cornerbacks and two defensive tackles, you know, we would take them all around, you know, early second round, late first round. Yeah, they could do it. I mean, they could do it, except, you know, I don't know. I don't think they want to gain picks for this year. Maybe it'll be for next year. You know, they, you know, like they traded the third round pick for Waller. They have the 87th pick in the third round. They traded the 100th pick. So it's really tough. It's really tough to figure. You know, it really is. But, yeah, I could see them doing it.
And one thing I think they definitely need to add, and Tynes, I want to get your thoughts on this, punt returner, kick returner. Richie James is gone. Would you use one of those picks on just a straight speed demon? And like the kid, the turban kid for Dallas – speed guy, would you use a pick on a special teamer, like a special guy like that?
Man, I know they like the Pimpleton kid, right? The Darnay Pimpleton kid that was in camp. I don't think they have the luxury of doing that, to be honest. Not yet. Maybe. You know, I don't know. I don't know. I wouldn't. I think you can find a guy. Maybe you can keep watching the XFL and the USFL, see who the top returners are, and grab one of those kids. I wouldn't draft one right now. That's a luxury pick, in my opinion, and the Giants don't have any luxury picks.
Brandon, yeah. I want to ask you, as a receiver guy, Quentin Johnson, and you said you want a big guy, right? You know, some people think Quentin Johnson from TCU was the number one receiver, and some people don't. You know, this is not Jamar Chase here. You know what I mean? They're just not. So if you – Quentin Johnson, Zay Flowers, you're going Quentin Johnson because of the size?
I will go Quentin Johnson on that one. Again, I know the stop on the dime guys, you need the Wandells. You need that. But if I'm building a receiver room, you know, and one thing that the Giants have lacked because the Kenny Golladay trade didn't work out. I mean, the Kenny Golladay signing didn't work out. It's just a guy you can throw it up there and just go get it. You know, like there's, I know you got your route technicians. So when you're building that receiver core, what do you dress? What, five guys? Let's say five guys are going to be on that. I want two Blazers, two speed demons. So you got Paris Campbell, you got Darius Slate. One to two route specialists. You have your Wandell and whoever that person is going to be. But then you just need that big guy. And I think that offense struggled last year with not having a Colin Johnson who was producing in the camp. And throughout camp and throughout the training camp and early in the preseason, you want a guy that sometimes is just like, you know what? He's not open in terms of what people say is open, but I'm just going to throw it up there.
First of all, do you believe in Isaiah Hodgins, who they re-signed?
Yes, I do. But I also, but he's a possessional. He's your possessional guy, you know, that, and I didn't factor that in. He's that possession guy, but there's always that, at least give me 6'2", Paul. At least give me that 6'2 hybrid guy that can go
up and get it. That's Darren Waller. That could be Darren Waller.
Yeah, you have Hodgins. Right? In my opinion, you got Hodgins and Waller. You can afford to go out and get the Zay Flowers because we don't know how Wandell's coming back from the ACL. No player's ever really the same. I think, you know, Bellinger, we can't count him out. I think he takes a massive step this year at tight end. I don't think you need to take the top off the defense. I just – to be honest with you, I don't even think that's Daniel Jones's game, is throwing the ball up. I don't know. I think some guys can do that, and some guys, I don't know. I wouldn't draft just because they're 6'3". I think you've got that part taken care of. I like Zay Flowers. I like Addison. I like a couple of other guys too, but I'm not sold on the kid from TCU. Takes plays off.
Drops the ball. I think I don't have any.
Well, Zay Flowers has a lot of drops too. People.
Yeah, but I think Zay Flowers is a better pure wide receiver.
He looks to me like he's going to be a better pro.
He's not small. He's just short. I mean, he's a.
But I get what Brandon's saying. You may think you need it, but if you think, and I didn't forget about Hodgins, but you're around the team more than we are in the offseason, I guess, Paul. That Hodgins and Waller, I mean, that's two big dudes.
Look, if Quentin Johnston caught the ball more and maybe had a little more, you know, didn't take his plays off, he'd be Ja'Marr Chase and he'd be going in the top five. I mean, that's why
Colin Johnson. I know we talked about him a little bit towards the end of the season last year. Like, he's coming back. He could be.
Oh yeah, I can't wait to see him compete. Yeah. I can't wait. But he became that guy they were just throwing it up to because he was coming down with it in practice. You know, you gotta consistently do it in practice for a quarterback to build that trust in you, to do it to you in a game. I think Daniel Jones couldn't do it. He didn't have the luxury and being able to do that because if he just threw something up and he got picked, he got booed.
At that time. He couldn't take a lot of risks last year.
What do you guys think of, and this is like kind of a sports writer drama thing, probably not on day two, but maybe early day three, they take a running back.
Give me one. Yes, 1,000%.
I'm hoping Tynes calls out.
I might announce one
in the second round. You think
in the second round, Paul?
There's going to be suitors for Saquon. I think some teams may think they're maybe a back away, and I'm okay moving on from Saquon if they have to. But listen, if you look at what the draft had produced last year, the young man from Michigan State. That was at Seattle, and I'm bad with names in the offseason on players. Pacheco, the young man down in Houston. I mean, you're talking about third, fourth, fifth, seventh round picks, guys. All 1,000-plus yard rushers. You don't think, and they said it's pretty heavy in running backs this year.
Yeah.
So maybe the second.
I'm not thinking of, you know, trading Saquon at this point. I'm not saying it's completely out of the question, but
I hate how everyone this offseason, and maybe not you guys, everyone, all the outsiders think this whole season was based on Saquon Barkley. Now, he had a great deal. He had a lot to do with the season, but it wasn't just all him because he kind of went away after the London game with the shoulder and went vanished and, you know, the Giants weren't really good in the second half of the season anyway in terms of wins and losses, but I don't know. I'm okay either way.
It was a 50-50 thing because it wasn't – he went away because of that injury, but they were also taking him away. They also – like Michael Parsons said, the game plan was to stop Saquon Barkley. So I think that second round – I still want him here, Tynes. Like, I still feel as though he could give you two strong years – and then maybe possibly that third year be kind of like that phase out year. But if you get somebody that second round, you need an RB2 in this league.
I don't think you have to take him in the second round. I do not think you have to take him in the second
round. Oh, no. I mean, there's third, fourth, fifth round, whatever we have.
I think they like the backup at Texas, Roschon Johnson. He's a big guy. He was the backup. You know, for the stud there. Brandon, you mentioned, well, you think Saquon's got two great years in him. But if he's only coming back on the franchise tag, that's going to be very difficult. You know, he did his prove it year already. He did it, and he had a career high, and they won 9 games in a playoff game. So I think mentally that will be very difficult for him to come back on a franchise year, prove it again, and we'll franchise you again. So, look, they got some bad information there. You know, he sort of signed that deal after the season. He had a good deal.
Oh, what about the one during? Did they get close during the season, or it was just right after?
Well, at the bye week, it was 12 and a half a year for 3 years, I think. But after the season, they upped that a little bit, and he should have signed it. I think he got some bad advice. All of a sudden, the market for running backs just went nowhere. I mean, you just want to know. I mean, isn't Jacobs playing on the franchise tag? You know, with the Raiders, and he had an unbelievable year. So they misjudge. Look, you pay people to anticipate this stuff, right? I mean, you guys had agents. I don't. You pay them to anticipate the market and give you their best advice based on their expertise. And I think in this case, you know, do they come back to something? But, you know, Joe Shane right now, believe me, he loves Saquon, but he's not sweating every night going to sleep saying, oh my gosh, Saquon on the franchise tag, this is going to be awful. He's like, we'll pay him $10 million and we'll reassess in 2024 if we want to franchise him again or not.
With that 57th pick, you get, remember you said we're not drafting just for this year, we're drafting for the future as well. So if there's that back right there at 57, get Saquon 1 year and then the kid takes over full time, you know, after Saquon goes elsewhere. But I definitely feel as though that running back room should be heavy with competition, regardless if Saquon is here or not, because I think that's going to take a lot of pressure off of Daniel Jones, especially signing a deal like that. If there are games where they could run the ball 30 plus times, 35 times with two, three different backs, I would like to see the Giants get back into that. And I would like to see them. I like to see like a Lamar Bradshaw type back, like you said, Pacheco in there. But you want to see like that scat back, so this offense can continue to be creative, continue to throw in ripples.
This is why the draft is so crazy and hard to talk about, because we've basically covered the whole team. We haven't talked about center, which we don't have really one on the team. I know we just signed a kid, but you mentioned that kid from Minnesota, Paul. Maybe he's in play in the second round of 50. He won't be there at 57, but who knows?
He might be there at 57. He might be.
Yeah.
I mean, look, the league doesn't draft centers all that high.
No.
You know, he's a good prospect, but he's not, you know, you know.
The Detroit Trojans have a great prospect. Jake? Jake Andrews.
Offensive lineman, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Center guard.
So what is he? Third round, something like that?
Third or fourth, something like that. He did a top 30 visit to the Seahawks.
Oh, imagine if they have him rated in the second round and you get to well, let me ask you something. If they draft him in the second round, you can't just say from Troy. What would you have to embellish a little bit?
Oh,
right?
My gosh. I actually talked to him quite a bit since the season's been over. And I told him I'm just going to say his name anyway. So get ready. That would be a bad deal.
I can't wait to see you up there, Tana.
So I'm keeping it all classy. I've wrestled with the, you know, talk shit about some team, the Eagles, the Cowboys, the, you know, I just don't think that's my place to do that. I think it's the New York Giants. We're not the Eagles. We're not the Cowboys. I'm not going to get up there and act like that. So
the name you say will right. That athlete has been waiting his whole life to hear his name said. And
he'll remember, you know,
yeah,
who said it, I'm sure.
Sure.
But I also don't want to get up there with some 30-second talk crap about the Eagles or Cowboys. Like, I don't know. Just not going to do it.
Will you be wearing your rings when you, you know?
I'm wearing both rings. Yes. Cause I don't ever get to wear them.
So I'm wearing them. I held
the card like this.
That's what I mean. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
you have to show something, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'll tell you this. I am coming out with something. What I'm going to be wearing is pretty cool. So that's all I'm going to give you. That's my teaser.
Really?
Tom's walking that trap and take over that trap.
Man. I'm walking that trap, baby.
All right, we're going to talk about Tom's selection, and we're going to talk again Monday after the NFL draft for our post-draft podcast. But before we go, I'm going to hand it off to the Scotsman to close out this pre-draft edition, Blue Rush.
You lost me at stake.
And that says cheerio to episode 144 of Blue Rush, our New York Giants podcast from the New York Post. Thanks to Jake Brown and Andrew Hartz for producing the show.
Hello, I am Jake Brown Lawrence. It's been a long time since we've done a bloody podcast. What have you been doing in your free time the last few months?
Well, I was out and about island hopping, riding on little planes that will scare you to death. But all in all, I've had a wonderful off season and I'm ready for the draft. All right, make sure you're subscribed to the Blue Rush on Apple Podcasts, the Blue Rush podcast on Apple Podcasts, lots of podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. There's that word again. in. Watch full episodes by subscribing to the New York Post Sports YouTube page. You can go to the Blue Rush playlist and watch there. Give us a thumbs up and comment below. Let us know what you want the Giants to do with the 25th pick at the NFL Draft. Parts and Brandon London, I'm Lawrence Tynes. We will return next Monday after the NFL Draft as we recap who the Giants took. Enjoy the draft, folks, and thanks for listening to Blue Rush.